Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, and Dr. Paul Hall in Raising Expectations.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're sure glad you're with us tonight, and welcome to this edition of Raising Expectations here on the BBS Radio Network. And we want to thank some people right off, like Don and Doug Newsom, the founders and the men who make it all happen at BBS Radio. And we're going to say a quick hello to our team, because as we often say, we want to become a family. We want all of you that listen. I've had great responses from about four or five states now. And we want you to know that you're family with us. We want you to know our family. I'd like each of our co-hosts to say just a quick word before we introduce you to our very special guest tonight. We want you to meet, first of all, if you didn't meet last week, Rob and Nancy Hansen. Rob, you heard his testimony last week about his life. Rob and Nancy, say hello to everybody.
Hello, hi. Everybody.
Hi. Welcome to the
show. Yeah, we're glad to be here.
Perfect.
Thanks.
Amen. And we're sure glad you're here too. You're looking really good tonight there, pilot. All right. Good to see you. And Nancy, you make him look even better. That's great. All right. And Paul Hall is with us tonight from outside of Santa Barbara, California. Paul, I know that's a picture. If you've been working on that, would you say hi to everybody?
Hello, everybody. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. We can hear you.
Well, good evening from Lompoc, California, home of Vandenberg Air Force Base and the casual life. So here we are.
That's right. All right, Paul, thanks. And I'd like to introduce you again to the most special lady and future in my life, Andrea Kelly, who's right here at my left. Andrea, say hi to everybody. For
hello, everybody. Nice to be back. Nice to see you.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Andrea.
All
right. Hello.
There we go. We're definitely a family. Very astute, very polished, as you can tell. Looking forward to spending time with you. This is the new version of FDR's Fireside Chat. We just don't have a fire, but we're here with you. Looking forward to being with you. We want to introduce you to our very special guest tonight, Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. And they will tell you, and you're going to hear from them, how passionate they are about helping each of you as you listen and thousands of other people to become healthier and to help them to make it a lifelong pursuit and a lifelong success. Craig is a general surgeon. He's a trauma director with extensive training in nutrition. Stephanie is a certified health coach and a sports nutrition coach. In fact, we feel healthier already just having you both on the program. So they're going to be sharing with you. They use a comprehensive program that will truly help you in all areas of your life. And as some of you have shared with me this week, looking forward to hearing from them, they're going to share how they help people through coaching, community support, nutritional components that they share, and many other things. But we're anxious, Stephanie and Craig. First of all, welcome to Raising Expectations. We're so glad you're here tonight.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
By the way, the library looks really
amazing. Thank you.
Stephanie has shared with us how she likes that library. It looks really good.
I like it too.
I asked for a long time, and this is a stay-at-home order project that has been accomplished. So thank you.
Well done. Well done.
That's great. It looks good. It looks good. Good work, Craig. Looks good. We're looking forward to sharing with you. And like we always like to ask people, we we'd like you to be able to share what you feel is very important in your lives and your ministry and your work and the way you help people. And you gave a few points. And one of the things that really impressed myself and Andrea and many of the team was the fact that you brought up a word that's so prevalent in the world today that we'd like to do away with. And that was the word negativity and how that fits into life. Stephanie, Craig, would you share some with us about that as we listen?
Sure. So our society, especially with this stay-at-home order, but even before that, you know, negativity gets so much energy and such a reaction from people. So for one negative comment you need, or impressions in your life, the things that you take in, you need 10 positive to counteract that negative. And so especially with what's going on right now, we have to be so careful about what we allow ourselves to take in, because, you know, 10 minutes of the news, for example, could turn into 2 hours of fretting in your day, which isn't going to serve you. And negative emotions wreak havoc on your body. It causes massive amounts of stress. It leads to us being very unhealthy in a lot of ways. And so it's a pretty big passion of ours to daily send people random messages that you're thinking about them or why you're thankful for them, or that your posts or your social media presence are positive. Maybe not engage with that person, even if you know you're right. That may not be the best thing to do, right? So just simple, practical things to avoid going down the negativity trap. Any thoughts?
You mentioned stress. So there was a study that just came out today about COVID, and when you're stressed, your cortisol levels are higher. It turns out they're also higher when you're obese. So, which will also pan out that has a higher mortality rate for both. So negativity is an unknown, invisible factor.
You don't want it.
Stress and negativity really can do a job physically on us, right? We hear you saying that?
Yeah, absolutely. And there are even cancer studies out there that show if you have a lot of bitterness or anger or rage, those very strong negative emotions, that's one of the highest predictors of cancer, actually, not genetics or lifestyle like a lot of people think about. So it's really, really important that I think a lot of this translates to the emotional health part of your body. We are healthy in different components of our life, right? And so all of them matter and all of them affect the next one. And this is an emotional health issue. And especially now with people not being able to have the social interactions that we normally do, we need to be really, really mindful of that. So I encourage you, turn off the TV or turn off your computer, walk away, go outside, get some natural sunlight. Rob is saying yes. Do you want to say something?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah, and if I may, Stephanie.
What do you think about that, Rob?
Yeah, I think that is so true. Also, you'll find from my experience, social media is one of the worst places in the world for people to interact, because
right now especially,
and in the past few months, because there's so much negativity going on in social media, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or wherever else. People may want to try a civil conversation about whatever differences they may have, but it always turns out to be,
escalates.
Yeah, it turns out to be negative. It turns out to be name calling, and then people block each other or something because they don't want to listen to the other point of view, I guess. So yeah, I have some very strong feelings about that, but I agree with you, Steph. It's very important to turn off all that electronic stuff.
Yeah. Very, very true.
Keeps coming at us. Paul, what do you think about that?
Well, us listen, and Stephanie, I appreciate what you had to say. I think negativity is the killer. Having pastored for 50 plus years, I think it's the one thing I ran into more than anything else is the negativity. And of course, from a pastor standpoint, I encouraged maybe some thoughts, people to think about some things they wouldn't think about otherwise. I certainly don't think it's an easy matter of just sticking a feather in your hat and whistling a happy tune. There's some really deep deep issues that need to be dealt with at times. But do you have any suggestions? You know, like all talking about the bitterness and the anger and the rage, these are all, to me, they're like little tributaries that just kind of feed into one major stream. And, you know, it's I think it's difficult sometimes. Let me ask this question. Do you think some people are predisposed to negativity? Is that a fair question?
I think some people are, yes. I think some people are naturally positive. I tend to see the good in things where I might have a friend or a relative that would see doom and gloom. So yes, I think we have a natural predisposition to things. But I think we also have to be careful how we feed those and work on our mindset. And, you know, it's just like, who would you take advice from? Do you want advice from Eeyore? Probably not, right?
Good point.
There's a sociologist term called poverty mentality. So if you grew up in a family that was a poverty family, you grow up feeling that you have no impact on your universe versus a non-poverty mind, and it freezes you in your life. So when you hit some obstacle, you freeze and you can't move forward. Or for some people, it's two obstacles and that's the limit, then they freeze. So that negativity definitely is in society and needs help if that's what is one of the issues.
Right. I think especially, you know, Stephanie, I appreciate what you said about turn off the news. You know, don't get your head into that. And it's the 10-to-1 ratio or 1-to-10 ratio, 1 positive 10 or 1 negative 10 positives. I think that's certainly something to hold on to as well. So just a lot of thought, you know, it's difficult sometimes because I think maybe there are those who tend to take on other people's troubles and they begin to feel like that, or they let that get inside, and that can really do some serious damage over the long haul. So I appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Do you think, Stephanie and Craig too? Because boy, I agree, Paul. Do you think sometimes it's who you spend time with? If you can choose your friends, like this lady I'm sitting with right now, you talk about positive. She sees, like you, Stephanie. Andrea sees the good in just about everything and searches it and helps people. Andrea, say a word about how you feel about that. I know how you feel, but you have to tell them.
Well, I have a little bit more than just a word. My life is based on evidence-based science and research that positive lives, where you build positive environments for your family, raises literally your prolactin and oxytocin, the feel-good hormones. So yes, people can be predisposed in the womb negative, horrible pregnancy experience, then they can be predisposed to negativity. And one of the things that we teach is a touch routine and communication, and looking lovingly deeply into the child's eyes from the time they're born can help to heal that. Through the age of 8, that is what we believe that science has proven, that we pass on in procreation what we have developed in the home or the influence. So what we want to do is, yes, spend time outside. If you don't have a natural river like we do in the front of our yard or the mountains to hike, then go to a wonderful...
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
It's okay.
Excuse me.
Oh, park in Manhattan. Bless you. And so it's very important to find a positive environment, and there can be reparation after birth through conscious parenting. So it's very important, positive, safe, creative, that you touch nurturingly and that you communicate lovingly. So
that is so true. That's so true, huh? And yeah. You know, Rob and I were talking about a week or so ago too about you know, diets and how we go, and you brought up an interesting point that I kind of like to throw out there for everybody as they're listening. You said sometimes the negativity, if I remember correctly, Stephanie, can translate into what we eat and then how we eat. Could you address that a little for us?
Absolutely. So our health is interconnected, the different areas of our life, whether it's relationship, faith-based, fun, family, work, motion, eating, emotion, all of that is interconnected. So when you are not feeling well, or you have a negative spike, you have that cortisol in your body, that's what gives you that fight or flight feeling. We often tend to make very poor decisions for ourselves. And that usually includes something that's very sugary and high in carb that you can eat a whole lot of and then a whole lot more of. And so this is why you find that people tend to spiral up or spiral down. You know, you're really stressed and you want the whole loaf of bread or the whole thing of ice cream or whatever it is for you. And so when we don't have control of our emotions, the eating often is out of control, and sometimes not eating, right? Some people control their emotions by actually refraining from eating. So either way, we can wreak havoc on our body, not intentionally, but food is fuel. So I always tease one of our kids. She always says she's a Ferrari. And so I said, well, would you put a pinch of gas in a Ferrari? And then she looks at me and laughs, you know. So if you think of it like that, food is fuel, none of us would want to be putting bad choices into our body, but we emotionally react, and that's what we do.
When we got back early March from Honduras, and that's when the panic began for COVID, the startling thing when you walked into the supermarket was the first aisle of all the potato chips, the Fritos, that was completely cleaned up. And when you walked around the corner to the produce, all that's fine. And obviously other paper products and other things, but it's funny how people go to comfort foods.
That's true. Anybody, what do you think about that? I know that I'm convicted, so somebody take this one.
Well, I just want to say, excuse me for walking out of the picture. I have allergies, and I have 3 dogs and 2 cats, and all of a sudden I just got a mouthful of it. So I'm sorry.
And my point would be that I think meatloaf and mashed potatoes is great comfort food. That's with gravy, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
It is great comfort food, but one of those things is, you know, if you have the mashed potatoes and gravy every day, your lab results may not be what you want them to be, right? And so a lot of times people will take some magic pill or magic shake or whatever, the cabbage soup diet or there's a million different things, and do it for a season of time. And then and you'll lose weight, right? Or you'll feel better. And then the second you get where you want, you stop and you gain everything back, or your lab results go back because you didn't learn about your habits. And so talking about how our body and our health is all interconnected, unless you start to learn about yourself, like Paul mentioned, do you think some people that are empaths, they take on that negativity of someone else? You know, if you don't learn how to have a healthy balance with that, you're going to go right back to it because it's what you know. So a lot of being healthy for life is learning about yourself and what serves you and what doesn't, and maybe how to love on others, but also keep yourself in a healthy position, because a lot of times we're sacrificial to a fault.
I agree. Yeah. And if I may, I think, and again, I have real problems with the media in general, but I think when it comes to health and wellness, there's a million different snake oil salespeople out there who are selling the latest craze in losing weight, you know, buy their pill, and all of a sudden, you know, you'll lose 14 pounds in 7 days, or use this pill or your money back. Use this pill and you'll be losing 50 pounds in a month. Or then you have celebrity people on TV saying, yeah, just join this particular, you know, whether it's a Slim Fast or I guess I can't name names here, but celebrities who are advocating for certain foods that you buy in bulk every month. And really, it's all just doo-doo. I think what it is like you're getting at, I think it's a personal lifestyle choice. It's a sense of if you really want to lose weight,
it's exercise
and diet. Better. Yeah. And smaller portions, yes. And less carbs. And I know the keto diet has apparently been all the rage for so long. And that's mostly proteins and fats from what I understand. But then I also understand the keto diet really isn't all that healthy in the long run.
You want to speak to that?
Yeah, it brings in a lot of business for me. So you eat that much fat, your gallbladder needs to contract. If it's got stones, you suddenly got a stone in the wrong spot. And here I'm taking out your gallbladder. So, or worse, you could have it in the bile duct and then you turn orange. And if that gets infected, one in five of you die. So, and it's a highly fat diet. They've shown that one meal of a highly fat diet raises all your heart inflammatory parameters. Just one meal starts giving you a coronary artery disease. So, and it's interesting. The other thing is the biggest cause today in America for liver transplant is fatty liver disease. The fat in the liver is so inflammatory that it's like alcohol. It gives you cirrhosis, and then your liver shuts down, dies, and scars, and you need a transplant. So carrying around that fat both in your body and in your liver is not good for you.
They're seeing
it caused by keto. Yeah. Okay. I wanted to ask, you know, if you might want to expand, Dr. Craig, about what causes fatty liver.
So you overconsume fats, and your liver is the machine that metabolizes everything. So what you eat goes straight into your bloodstream from your stomach, small bowel, and it goes straight to the liver, and the liver processes it. So if you overconsume, it's like supersaturating sugar and water. You know, it's going to get stored, and then that storage of all that lipid just causes an inflammatory response, which then sets up white blood cells, kind of an autoimmune disease, where all that inflammation causes scarring and cell death. And then as more cells die and less blood flow gets to them, then they don't function as well. And it just sets up a downward circle spiral to death of your liver. So those are the biggest cause. And if you lose weight, you know, bariatric surgery, which I'll say, even as a surgeon, is just fixing a symptom and not the cause. You lose weight, 80% of them get the weight back, 80% of them have a complication during that weight loss period. So it's not a great way of going, but it's treating a symptom, but, that weight loss and those studies of those people who've lost weight have shown the liver disease goes away, lupus and other autoimmune inflammatory things completely go away. Because your sugar's better controlled, your diabetes goes away. Every organ system, migraines, 57% of the time go away. So having a lot of lipids or fats floating around in your bloodstream is just not good for you.
Yeah.
I also know, a lot of folks over the last...
You said something.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, that's all right. Andrea had a thought. Hold that thought, Rob. We'll come up. This is good. Yeah.
And to support nutrition, definitely within the environment, nutritionally balanced meals are very, very important to children being productive in their school. If you have a child that's depressed, always has the runny nose, if you go into the atmosphere of the home, it might be disorganized, unclean, nutritionally unbalanced. So you also want to go into the home and clean up the atmosphere. It doesn't matter if you're the Rockefellers or if you're in a quantum. If it's clean and organized, children are more able to have an atmosphere in which to digest their food afterwards when there's not confusion and chaos. And so then you want to help also develop your creativity for the digestion of the food. And let me give you an example of that. We just had a huge family dinner and everybody loved the meal, and I'll guarantee you it was balanced and beautifully and wonderfully set and prepared. The environment was right. The balance was right. Then Joe gets out the guitar and the granddaughter and the daughter-in-law and everybody's dancing and we're singing. So then comes the creativity of, as a child, you want to expose your children to whatever they're drawn to. If they want to stop and look at buildings, if they want to pick up a guitar, if they want to sing, they're drawn to their DNA potential. And so anything they express that they want to learn. Part of digestion is the atmosphere afterwards, not just sitting down. What else can you do? Can you go out for a walk? Can you listen to the river, go to the park, create music and fun under the stars, and move and dance and sing and music again, raises your oxytocin and prolactin. When you're having fun, you're feeling good, you're lowering cortisol, and you're raising those feel-good hormones. So I just wanted to hear those thoughts in regards to environment of the home supporting nutritionally balanced.
Man, yeah. Rob, you had a thought there?
Well, I had a thought, but it's not quite related. This goes back to the magic pill, I guess, about, you know, a lot of people do gastric bypass surgery in an attempt to, I guess, lose weight. And there's a lot of people that do that along with those that, you know, are looking for the magic pill. But it still doesn't really solve the problem other than, okay, your stomach is shrunk now by like 90%. So you're going to get full real quick. But medically, that can't possibly be good for you.
No, and most of them learn to expand their stomach over time, or they eat very rich foods in small quantities. So they're not actually learning what their body likes, how they feel, why they're doing what they're doing. Like, you know, is a family member triggering you, or you're very stressed when you come home, or you're bored and that's why you're eating, or your dad told you you were overweight as a kid and you had to have a shake. So you look at a shake and you say, no way, and you eat everything else. You know, we come with these patterns, and unless you learn that about yourself, it just absolutely is not going to change. And that's why I've had quite a few clients come to me that have had gastric, who have had massive complications, lost hundreds of pounds, and then gained all of it back. And so we're basically starting at the beginning. What have you learned about yourself, and what do you know? And most of them don't know very much. And that's the key to be healthy for a long time. You need balance in life. And like Andrea was saying, it is about your environment. All of these things are interconnected, and your environment could be physical, like our home. It could also be your friendships. It could be lots of different things, right, that serve you or don't. And Andrea, I know that's not what this segment is about, but we homeschool our youngest two, which I never thought we would do ever. And one of my goals and one of the things I've watched and learned in our sons is that to nurture their passion. Yes, you have to learn to read. Yes, you have to learn to write. But what are they engaged in, and what makes them tick? And one of our sons is very musical, and I'm not. And so I try to get him the proper mentorship and surrounding to have that, because that's where we're all going to thrive. If it's something you're passionate about, that's where you're going to do your best, right?
Yeah. And again, if I can totally agree. I think one of the biggest problems Americans have is that everybody in America is looking for the quick solution, the quick, you know, the quick answer, the actual, you know, the magic pill. And there is no such thing.
Yeah.
True. And it,
I like,
you know, but COVID has taught me that mankind wants, I mean, that we're social, right? We want to interact with people. And so one of those things that we provide is coaching. That's key. It's accountability, right? So you're going down the path of life and your health path together, and not alone. So it's key.
Would you be willing to speak to? Sorry, Joe. What?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Would you speak to the top 10 killers and how it's correlated with obesity?
Yeah. So if you look at the CDC website of the top 10 causes of death in the United States, you know, heart disease, cancers, even including motor vehicle accidents. All 10 of those, diabetes, COPD, joint problems. You look at the top 10 disabilities, immobility is number one. And if you're way overweight, you can't move around. You need a total knee, you need a total hip, and you wear things out. So, I mean, if I were to look at healthcare in the United States and I wanted to make the herd better, I'd make everybody lose weight and in a healthy way. So that's the number one thing. But then in doing so, like motor vehicle accidents, right? We call them motor vehicle collisions now because they're not accidents. These are people that have been drinking or have consumed something else that's altered their consciousness. So it really wasn't an accident. So that behavior or habit needs to be changed. And that's one of the things we work on with people too.
It's sad because it's preventable. You know, we have one beautiful life. Let's take care of our physical body so that we can be present in all the other areas of life, right?
Amen.
Amen.
You know, Stephanie, you mentioned, you mentioned balance. That is a magical world. word because our company for 35 years taught touch, a leading in infant massage WINC, W-I-N-C. And it needed more evidence-based science. It just needed more. And the balance was Bruce Lipton, The Biology of Belief, wrote an incredible book on balance of your prolactin, oxytocin, cortisol, how to keep unhappiness down. And you're absolutely right to carve out and do surgery, doctor, when somebody stresses you more than brings happiness. You got to settle it or you got to cut it out. You got to do some surgery because your family is at risk. Who is at risk? Your family. So then through Bruce Lipton science, that's when we added environment, safe, positive, creative, nurturing, communication. And so there's your balance. And environment is everything. It can be a dirt Quonset hut floor that's clean and stumped, which I visited in Africa. And it was loving, and it was clean, and it was nurturing, and it was balanced. And everybody danced and sang, and it was there. And then I wealthy mansions to help them with their family bonding after their babies have been in the NICU. And so it's not about money. It's about a world community coming together that all children basically need the same thing. If they're born well or they're born with challenges, because I don't say disabilities, those challenges turn into what can they do? Let's not look at what they can't do. What can they develop and do? So I agree with you that it's balance, balance, balance.
Boy, yeah. Oh boy, that's interesting. Yeah. Hey, you still with us there, Paul?
I'm still here.
Hey, there you go.
Hi, Paul.
Well, I think we really are interested as we continue in this vein. I know we're all looking this way about the environment and who we are and the causes that you're sharing with us. And I like what you said. I know we all do about learning about ourselves, our habits, and why we go this way. And I know that we're all people of faith. We all have a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that God has a purpose for us being here, and we want to take care of our bodies. But we get to this subject you did bring up once, which is really the tough one. And I know I'm probably going to get kneed by Andrea on this one, because this is the tough one. It's the five-letter word, S-U-G-A-R. And when you said it's in just about everything, remember, Craig, we were talking about this. Rob, I hate to bring this up, but it's in everything that we like, Paul. So could you address the way it's one of the most addictive substances and teach us some of that insight on sugar so how we'll know a little bit about that?
Joe, do you have a confession?
Yeah.
What's your favorite snack?
My favorite snack, oh, ice cream at night.
Oh, no!
It's good.
Mine is peanut M&M.
Every night,
oh,
right,
yeah,
before bed.
Yeah. That, and I got to tell you, I need to tell you, too, it's I like Hershey's chocolate, but really because I know I'm supporting all the orphans in Hershey Town when I buy that. And actually, that's really not that true, but I had to say that and balance that out. So,
Hershey's tell us about sugar, course, right?
Please tell us about sugar for children.
That makes it,
yeah.
If it feeds the orphans, it makes it perfectly fine, right? So we all think of like table sugar, right? And table sugar is obvious. You decide to make a baked good for your family. You want to love on them. It's a treat. That's great. That's what most of us would think. Or like, you know, a candy that you get at the store. The reality is sugar is in so much. It is in packaged lunch meat. If you are having any type of processed bread, so anything other than like a sprouted grain, I don't want to say the brands, but there's only a couple out there. Everything else has actually been processed and so stripped down that it's actually much worse than table sugar. So if you want to pull up the glycemic index, that just means the sugar availability, the quick availability to your body to make it into energy, it's much higher. Like table sugar is in the 60s and bread is in the 90s, and so is pasta. So when you think about feeding yourself or your family and you make a bowl of pasta, you might as well give yourself a bowl of sugar. I know you guys are so sad. I think a lot of people just don't know that. We haven't been taught that. Our ingredients have been stripped down over time with very good intention. You know, wheat was changed over time to provide for people that didn't have enough food. And so we meant well, but in that process, we stripped the micronutrients and the quality of it. Grains were originally very nutty. They were high in protein, and they are almost complete carbohydrates now. So it's very hard to get what you need or what most people want, like you were saying, the grocery store during this quarantine. Everyone's going towards the comfort foods, which are those. And there's a reason for it. So sugar is so, so addicting. If you look at brain scans of someone that's on heroin and you look at brain scans of someone who has just had sugar, it is the same exact stimulation. Exactly. And so your brain wants more and more and more. So it's the most common thing that I see for my clients to kick is the craving of sugar. A lot of people will detox very heavily, and even good healthy sugars like honey or agave, it still does the same thing to your brain. So sugar doesn't have nutritional value for us. It just adds sweet. So we just need to be careful.
I have two questions for you.
Yeah.
I have two questions that I think other people are wondering about. Okay. Let me say them both, and then I'm going to sit back and really want to hear the answer. Okay. I am willing to pay more and go to the health food store where I think I'm buying organically. And it's what it says, you know, organic and without pesticides. And then I read the packages of the type of bread I get, and I look for certain, you know, ingredients. Okay, so am I getting, the first question, am I getting a better quality? Reading the labels, tell us what exactly to look for. I think I know, but I want to hear what you tell me. And then the other question is, in the morning, I love natural organic fruit. I know it's high in sugar, okay? Is grapefruit, green apples, and figs good for you? I mean, they do have natural sugar.
Okay, so that, quite a few questions in there. So the first one is about organic. Yeah, so being organic, that word drives Craig crazy because any food is technically organic, but what we're referencing is a certification. We're certifying that it's organic, which is a process that you have to go through to say you don't use pesticides, that sort of thing. It's completely illegal in Europe, just so you know. The food you get there, all of it's organic. They don't have anything but organic. So the United States has set a different standard, which is quite unfortunate for our food. I would encourage you, if you are on a very tight budget and organic is not something that is easy for you to do, every year there's a published Dirty Dozen list of the best produce to buy organic. And it's usually stuff that doesn't have a hard shell around it, like strawberries are always number one to buy organic because they're low to the ground and they're sprayed and all of that pesticide goes into the fruit. So I highly encourage you to look that up. The second thing is on labels on the back. So just because it's organic doesn't mean it's good for you. It could be, but organic means it doesn't have the chemicals. So already you have a better quality for sure. And I highly encourage people to figure out how to budget that in their life, because what you put in matters and it will affect your body. But if the back still is full of sugars or something that your body doesn't like, there's a lot of people that their body doesn't like dairy, their body doesn't like grain. You just have to know that about yourself. It may not serve you. I'm a big proponent of you need fat, carbohydrate, and protein in your body. If you're missing one of them, it's not good for you. Each one has a very specific role for your body functioning. The fruit thing. So if you are trying to lose weight or if you have a diabetes problem, the fruits might be bad for you. But fruit is the best natural sugar you can get. And if you've removed the table sugar from your life, a fruit is the sweetest thing you've ever tasted. I mean, having like a bowl of berries is unbelievable. And having that whole fruit has all of this fiber in it and micronutrients. And Joe is going to be sad about what I'm saying. I can see it.
I'm with you. I'm listening.
So I think one of the other keys about sugar is she mentioned the glycemic index. So processed wheat has a huge peak of glucose in your bloodstream. That peak then is followed by a big peak in insulin, and that insulin is what makes you hungry.
Right. Andrew is saying something.
Yeah, would you say, Andrew?
No, I was asking you, doctor, so when you're buying the organic, better ingredient breads, and you're reading it, and you're looking for the right things, they have to tell you the truth, right? So what would you tell us we need to look for in our grains and our breads from a healthy
store? I think sprouted or what they call old grains.
Yeah.
Ancient grains.
Ancient grains.
Those are the older wheats. Yeah, those are the older wheats.
Farro, things like that.
More protein and less, less carb.
Okay.
It's just the carbs. It's not that we say those things you can't do. You can, but if you're trying to lose weight, you really want your glucose to be just an even amount the whole day without blips. So eating every 2 to 3 hours, irregardless of whether you're losing weight or not, that keeps your glucose more steady than not doing that. I mean, I found myself intermittently fasting without even knowing it. I would go off to work early in the morning, not eat breakfast, not drink very well water or any other fluids, not eat lunch, and then get home and I'd have 6 meals at dinner.
That's the most common thing I hear.
That's intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
It's not good. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't realize it. Yeah.
Yeah. People that are busy.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. Very typical. Yeah.
What about the balance of meat, fish, chicken? People that are not vegan or vegetarian. I was raised by a grandfather was a rancher. So we've got 2 minutes. How do you feel about that? What do you advise?
I think people are personally inclined to the way they feel. So some people really want to be vegan and some don't. I will caution you that dairy causes massive inflammation. I'm French. I grew up with plates of cheese. I love cheese. It's not really great for your body. I think we are weird. I know this. I go out of my way to buy from butchers that I know have humanely killed animals. So we have a lot of local ranchers where we live. And we only buy organic meats and we only want to know where they were killed properly. Not everyone can afford that. We're carnivores. We like meat.
So yay! I think the other angle of meat is the less legs, the less fat it has. So cow's got 4 legs, that's fat. And then chickens and turkeys have 2, that's less. And then fish have no legs. So if you want to get your fat from really healthy sources like nuts, almonds, whatever kind of nuts you like, avocado, that kind of stuff. So try and avoid the less fat.
We have to bring you back on the program.
You need to come back.
We're going to have to bring you back. Is that going to be okay? We try to twist your arms. What do you think, Rob? Because I'm just getting into the stuff that sounds good. Paul, good steak.
Absolutely.
Just making a short count.
Now we're interesting. Yeah, it's fascinating. In fact, 6 months ago, I lost one of my beloved Rottweilers to lymphoma. And one thing I learned from reading about, lymphoma in animals was that sugar, which we've talked a lot about, tends to feed the cancer cells.
Yeah, it does.
It does. Yeah.
And I would assume that that probably holds true also in humans as well as dogs. And I think that sort of brings a whole new perspective into, you know, the sugar issue that as we see so many people getting cancer in the United States, probably more than almost any other place I can think of, that sugar, that people need to know that the sugar is actually going to be feeding the cancer cells and not the healthy cells in their body.
True.
Right. It acts like a poison when you have cancer.
Yeah.
It's frightening.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I tell you what, this is such a good discussion. I wish we could go for another hour. Could we get you come back with us again? We'll get right back to you on this. Would that be okay?
We'll work that out
because we're really enjoying it. We'd love it. All those in favor, say hi.
Hi.
Handsome, got an eye there.
Supportive.
I got an eye there. And our radio listening audience, oh my goodness, it's unanimous. I can hear them everywhere. Yeah. That's it. They're coming.
Deafening.
They want you to come.
Deafening.
We filled the stadium.
We filled it.
I mean, this really
God
is.
Bless you, Paul. Thanks
this
for your.
This is a great show.
Yeah, it's a great topic, and it needs to be discussed more because I think Americans are among the most unhealthy people in the world because of our diets, our processed foods, our lack of knowledge of nutrition in general, our lifestyle that's mostly, you know, fast-paced, busy, and we don't spend time thinking about what we put into our mouths.
And you guys make it, I mean, you come out and tell what actually needs to be done. And, you know, you don't beat around the bush. You say, this is the way it should be. And it's very interesting.
It's fascinating.
And I make it now, and I hate to be like Fox News, but I'm going to have to take the thing and say, they're about to take off, so we don't, the program behind us. However, so I will be sugar-free for the next program. Just want you to know that. And I know now my conscience is listening right here, Rob. So, Paul, you heard it. So, you know what we're on that one. So, thanks so much. And we'll be in touch with both of you. God bless you for your testimony, for your witness, for helping people. What a blessing. Okay? So, we're going to be signing off now again.
God bless you guys.
So nice to meet you.
Yeah, so nice to meet you.
Love you. Next time we'll
Stephanie,
Rob, thank you so much.
Yeah. We need a group over at your guys' place, Andrea.
Group hug. Come on, group hug.
But we're going to have to have Stephanie and Craig do all the right cooking for us, right?
Yeah. Paul's there. Paul's a hugger. Okay.
All right. Well, God bless and keep you. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
till we see you.
Thank you. So
Godspeed.
Nice to meet you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.